Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother and as your teacher. If you follow my instruction, when you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything else. So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I am great, I have got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, prays. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slave. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are tied to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, let me, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are leaving, we call, where's my son, where's my mother, where's that, where's that? And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I'm going to my father. This is all master says. Guru Amar Das says, now I'm going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jamsi said the same thing. Our master used to sit some months before, well, I'm leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, O God, give us the feet of such a personality who is the mouthpiece of God. And he says, how long can I should like to die at his feet? This is a very big prayer, you see, and prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on he gave, his father gave out the Ramanuj, that we are still a cover of that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was a teacher like that and ultimately became to a lover of Rama, God incarnation power. So as I told you, yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light, are found out there, which is better. They are symbols only to show that such like models, that such like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks, who is the better? And he is better of the two of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things were found just for teaching the people that such like sound is there, such a light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship, as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says, Shankara, the most learned man, came out after the true worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the I see the bhakti yoga, head of the bhakti yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He took to the bhakti yoga. And then last of all he saw, he pursued worship God in the symbol of mother. Mother enveloped me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where mother was not. He came to his guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into oneity, unity of one. He took something, whatever was lying, and put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen to oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I mean bhakti yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is God made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that, and one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Maulana Rumi gave out, you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called master, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit as you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palace. So, Purananda says, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because you know, the most learned people, the most bhakti yoga heads and others all crave for the, I mean, what is presence, or the guidance, or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who were made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there, that is called, that place is the place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere, which are called now as Nankana Sahib. He sat at the feet of some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the what the places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, O God, have you doubted me? Tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of pilgrimage? You have to say the word made flesh, wherever it is, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimage is because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek, if you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego, you. Just hear somebody like that, go and sit at it. See for yourself what you are. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of his time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people have gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? See, worldly position, sometimes worldly wealth, sometimes high education, stands our way. Oh, I know so, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening there are many people go around. In old days, people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, or at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth. And if he has come, all right, I have given such a thing, he will remember forever. You see, he was just washing his skin in the cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my Lord, what will happen if my master just drink that water which is washing up his skin? You see, the predominantly, I mean, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the church, ran back, oh God, I am saved. I was otherwise spoiled. When he came home, he called for the washerman, little wash this cloth. That was some stain of his skin, of the water of his skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just with the tongue clean it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at one place, that works wonders. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at his feet, at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is saying people are coming, and let me go to her, visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. Went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the washerman stood up his head, hold it. And the people came and told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came back. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, or now, does not nature make arrangements for world in the mother before he is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say that the grace of God, something is working, that all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ram Das gives that wherever you hear such like masters, go to his feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go is better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only if you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under a tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it then goes above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. You won't just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that sin manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit like a tree, the branch of it laden with fruit that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? He has business actually. Why should he go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, entered there. He came up, Lord, how can your old one, how can you re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody is a flesh. You, don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth is called. It is Christ born. You see? This is what they give. That's only had at the feet of mass. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He said, by having the rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming, going, go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depths of the violence of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moranung refers to it as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves how to come out of the body. He says, you break the roof, open it, hole into the roof and go out. So in man body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outgoing faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outgoing faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, which becomes the fear, which will lead you where, that will lead you where, from where that emanated. The God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, When you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker, divine sense that power is working, which is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives it, what is it, decisions according to our actions. Then while a doer, but those who become conscious over the divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are watchers. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beast. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the deity. So, such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such masters come, what do they do? They all right, have the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you over there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns, fire, somewhere it gives you ice cream. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different. And others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back souls back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There is a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allowed some money. And the prisoners begin to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount, and the prisoners begin to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they have got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, makes some money, and they begin to have good ventilated houses. All three people went over there, they are filthy ones for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out, each one. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, called by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has control of his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much have engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcends into beyond. So he can work both in here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are world made flesh, mind that. That word has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special lighted sun. They come, that already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside, we withdraw all our attention from outside and give it something to start with, some capital to start with. He not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Gives you some capital to start with of light and sound by regular practice. They do own, you see, as Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working the world. Under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has his past and every sinner's future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who got man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our souls from all outward enjoyment, gives the higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy word is like but to my feet. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. You understand? If that thing, they do like that. So, when the master comes, you know when the Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetops. These things are now being given out openly at platform. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own self, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, that God sends him, your prayer is true, God made some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to. Demonstration of rising above body consciousness, an opening in life. So they come and proclaim, here's the way. God wants each one of you to come back to Him. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give you contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to absolute law. So all outer religions, the labels of which we are carrying, they have these very basic teachings in the scriptures. For want of practical people, we have forgotten. This is what I am putting before you. It is no new thing. It is already given in the books. In the scriptures, I have written one book, Naam or Word, from all scriptures. They simply touch me. Two living and higher consciousness. Social body, the labels of which you are carrying, remain there, first step. Have two living and somebody there, if you can have your own self-conscious, that power which is within you, when will you know about it? When your attention is withdrawn from all outside and from the body below, then your inner eye, or single eye will open, you see the name. If you can do your own self well and good, do it. If not, we cannot do it generally. Because we are already identified with the outgoing faculties, intellect, body, the world. They have forgotten ourselves and all practices. What we use for meeting God relate to the outgoing faculties, mind are into, how can you rise above it? So someone is needed to raise you up, give you a demonstration of it, give you something from capital to start with as a light and sound within you and then dwell further, that there the ABC starts. That's not the end all, the be all. Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have written for you. It is for you to, for calm consultation, how it appears to you.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording that was just played was the last half of a talk called Man, Know Thyself. It was given by Master on October 9th, 1972, in New York City. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascon. Hi, Rudy.
Hi, David. Can you hear me well?
Yes, you're fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Today's talk is Master's talk called Out of Bondage. It's I've found it on the Ruhani Satsang website, and you can get it there if you have a computer. Okay, so Master says, God is known as Sat, ever-existing. And the world is Asat, changing. In the Hindu holy scriptures, it states that the world is all Asat, and only the soul is Sat. So why is the soul called Sat? Because it is made of one substance only, and that is all consciousness. If anything is made of one substance, there is no question of its disintegrating. So why is the world Asat? Because it is made of matter in the form of elements, which in turn are broken down into atoms, neutrons, protons, etc. And any admixture of substances is subject to disintegration. And our body is the exact copy of the Brahman, or the three divisions of creation, for we have three bodies within us, corresponding to the physical, astral, and causal planes. God has given us a body made of matter, through which we are working in this world, which is also made of matter. At the time of death, we leave this body and use the astral body that works in the next plane, sometimes known as the other world. Ahead of this, there is the causal body. And the purpose of all these body coverings is to enable us to work in all the three worlds whenever we are so inclined. And if we feel like it, to take off all three coverings and go into the lap, into God's lap. So when we come into this world, the greatest knowledge we can have is that only in the physical form we realize the truth of God. So how can we know God? He cannot be known through the senses, mind, intellect, or through the pranas, the vital airs. If God is to be realized, only the soul can do it. So when can the soul get this experience of realization? When it has freed itself from the mind and senses. What is the condition of the soul at present? The soul is everlasting and cannot die. But because it has come under the influence of mind, it has become jiva. Soul with coverings. And as such, it must therefore travel on the cycle of birth and death. Furthermore, by the connection with the senses and the outer enjoyments, it has identified itself with the body and the world, so much so that it has forgotten its true nature and God, the Creator. We are soul. in human form, all consciousness having a physical covering. In this human form, we can realize God, but only when we first come to know ourselves. And as long as we do not know who we are, we cannot comprehend what God is. Just consider that this body is the temple of God, and it maintains its glory while the soul is in it. But we are imprisoned in the body. Imprisoned. In the Upanishads, the question is asked, who is the maker of this wonderful body? It has got two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, mouth, genital and excretory orifices, and yet the indweller cannot run out of it. The breath goes out, but it does not stay out. Some power pushes it back into the body. It is that power which we have to know, and that is the power we call God. While we are with the body, it is glorious. And for how long are we with it? For as long as that power keeps us with it. When that power leaves, we must leave also. This very same power is controlling all levels of creation. There are innumerable planets, stars, etc. It is obvious that they are all working with perfect rhythm and control, and do not crash into one another. When that power leaves different levels of creation, dissolution, and also grand dissolution occurs. So, all rishis and saints, no matter from which country, caste, or creed they came, advise mankind in similar words. O brothers, this body has been given to you that you might know yourselves. The Upanishads and other scriptures state, know thyself. There are many different ways of doing so. Some people just say, I'm not the body. But merely repeating the fact does not give knowledge of it. They are drawing inferences that they are not the body. They repeat, this is my body, this is my mind, I am not the body, I am not the mind. I have got intellect, but I am not the intellect. Such people should also ask themselves, if this is mine, can I take it off? Can I separate myself from this? It is one thing to feel that one is not the body, mind, intellect, and pranas, but has one ever separated oneself from them? For example, this is my watch. I can take it off and leave it there. This is my handkerchief, and I can put it aside. This is my book. I can place it where I like. And these, all these things, because they are mine. This body is also mine. Can I take it off? Can I separate myself from it at will? On death, we do separate the body, but if we could leave it while living, we would see everything with correct perception. As it is, we do not see things in the right light and are going along in an illusion. And when we do not know ourselves, what I mean is, the soul has to free itself from the mind and the senses and thereby know itself. If this does not happen, we have not done anything in life. To see is something different, for it is not enough to use the intellect to state, I am not this, I am not that. One may still the intellect by doing so, but one cannot get out of the forgetfulness. That power which controls us, whom we call God, also resides in this body with us. But to see God is impossible unless we first know ourselves. So you see, the question of whether we can see or cannot see God is a very specialized subject. And before going further into this talk, I want to explain that the spiritual science is not any particular sect or religion. To whatever religion you belong, I congratulate you, and you should stay in it. All religions are like schools into which we have been admitted. What was the reason for our admission? Was it not to realize God? Naturally, that school is best, from which more boys graduate. So say that a certain school is very well built, with beautiful playing fields and smart uniforms for the boys to wear. But no boy graduates from that school. What is the use of that? So how did all various religions come into being? Always, when a self-realized and God-realized man came, who had analyzed himself from mind and senses and had experienced the Lord. Just as I can see you and you can see me. So they saw God. Whoever came in close contact with them became capable of seeing the same, and after freeing themselves from the mind and senses. Well, I have just given an example about my body, my mind, and that one has to rise above this to experience the Lord. In this way, they became the ones who could see the life sustainer. And when they left the world, the religions were formed in order to keep their teachings afresh. But up till then, they themselves had formed no sect or religion. The real purpose of forming a sect was to enable everyone to sit together to realize God, as that particular master had taught them. Is it not so? Man is a social being, and so the social organizations or sects were formed. However, when the sects were formed, customs, rites, and rituals were also introduced, and these come under apravidya, or exoteric knowledge. All this is useful in preparation of the ground. If one's deeds are good, then one will gain a reward. But the cycle of life and death will not cease in this way. It can only finish when one is able to see that he is the doer and not I. If a person continues to consider that he is doing everything, then what he sows, he will reap. And good deeds will bring forth good fruit, bad deeds the opposite. Lord Krishna said that both these types of karmas are like gold or iron chains which bind. So the subject is one of self-analysis in a practical way. And when you have come to know yourself, then only will you see God. When we think that we see and understand something, we really only see through the eyes of some past master by reading his words in the scriptures. They all say, we have seen God. Have we also seen him? This is the question we must put to ourselves. So when you ask a small child, who are you? He gets confused, opens his eyes and mouth wide, and tries to concentrate. He has some awareness of consciousness, but as he grows older, the sanskaras, or outer impressions, have their influence on him. Then he starts saying, I am Singh, Khan, Jones, Smith, etc. Ask him who he is a few years later, and he will say, I'm a Hindu, a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Jain, and so on. Isn't that forgetfulness? A small child is more conscious of his true nature. Who are we? We are conscious entities. All masters in the past have said that we should know ourselves and then think about getting to know the ultimate reality. Whenever they came, they tell us, oh man, this body has been given to you through great good fortune. The Devi and the Devta, rulers of the various upper regions, all striving to get back into the human form. So how fortunate we are to have that for which such exalted souls are yearning. Have we realized God? If so, it is good. But how many can say that they do see and can also make others see the light of God? There are very few. We have merely bookish knowledge or knowledge through hearsay. A master's greatness lies in the fact that he sees and can show others what he sees. How? He withdraws our attention from the outer environments and takes it above the mind and senses. Then he makes us realize that we are not the physical body. This is what is called an inner experience. Through the intellect, we have been declaring that we are not the body, but in truth, we must see the fact and not just say so. We must separate ourselves from the physical, astral, and causal bodies. Upon rising above all three, one will know that I am the soul. One is then capable of seeing the controlling power called God. Even arising above the physical body alone will bring the knowledge that it is not I, but he who is the doer. It is most important that we have this practical experience. Our minds are like human libraries, full of books containing the words of past masters, throughout which is written that this master said this, that master said that. No doubt, all masters have spoken the truth, and they wrote what they saw. But have we seen anything? Have we, in truth, separated the life from the matter? Words cannot fill an empty stomach. The food for the hungry soul is the holy Nam, the God into expression power. And the food for the body is bread and water. Food for the intellect is to read, write, and reason. Even those who sincerely try to understand God through books are very few in number, so neither feelings, emotions, or inferences will help us. There is some power in control that is called God. Saints or masters have called that power Nam, or name. That Nam is the controlling power, or God into expression power. It is that power that is upholding us and has tied us to this body. The past masters have expressed in the books the helping factors and the hindrances on the spiritual path. Well, such books are most valuable, and we are blessed that we can read about their experiences. However, if you go to one who sees, he will say, come, sit down. I will show you what I have seen, which is vastly different. There have always been very few such spiritual masters in the world at any time. And even now there are not many. However, the world is not without them. For feeding the intellect, one can find many masters. To be very frank, if a person has not broken free from the delusion, how can he give light to anyone? He will say it is either this or that. But in truth, what is it? No one can give an experience unless they are themselves connected. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and who he and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So these are the facts about two masters. They also ask, how was your body made? Have you ever thought about it? Just from one small sperm. And what is that power that makes the form in the womb of the mother? The eyes are made, the nose is made, hair, etc. Everything perfectly made. Is there not some power doing all this? There must also be a power, a maker of this world. Have we seen that power? Just think. There are millions of stars in the sky, and in what rhythmical control they are moving. There's some planets that are seen by man only after the passage of 5,000 years. Just to consider all this, one's intellect reels. These stars do not collide with one another, for there is some power that is holding them in control in their correct positions. The same power is holding us. What is that power? The masters say that you may want the answer to this great mystery, and you will get it, but you have to know yourself first. Kabir Sahib, a past master, said that there is no difference between the soul and God. God is all consciousness, and the soul is a drop of that consciousness. With one thought from the all-powerful consciousness, millions of worlds were created. Our soul is also very powerful, but can it even make one small city? What is the reason for this? We are micro-gods too, but we have become so weak and helpless that we have come under the influence of mind and the senses, and all our power is scattered outwardly. If we could but control it, withdraw it, release ourselves from the mind and senses to become single-pointed, then our soul would be very powerful. It is a practical subject. We have got such power that we could give strength to others, but we have become the body. We have become the senses and the mind. So all masters have said again and again, man, know thyself. Both Kabir Sahib and Tulsi Sahib, in almost identical words, have said that God and the soul are one and the same. The soul is eternal. Surat, or attention, is full of bliss, just as God is. It has the same quality as God. On a miniature scale, it is a reflection of God. I will give you an example to illustrate this. Many times we have helped to take dead bodies to the cremation ground by carrying them on our shoulders and have perhaps lighted the fire with our own hands. But even then we cannot realize that we also have to go. Why is this? Because this body contains the reflection of God. If there's a big fool among other fools, who will think there is none more cleverer than himself because of that reflection of God in him. Everyone is eternal in himself because he is the same as God. The masters say that we are so much in God that our soul is in God and God is in our soul. When we meet a spiritual master, we begin to understand what Sat or truth is. He gives us an experience of the beyond. An experience means that he frees us from the mind and senses and makes us see who we are, not through intellect or feelings. First, we know who we are. We are conscious entities. We are the children of a lion and have great strength. but we have made ourselves weak and helpless. For another example, the rays of the sun do not burn us, but if we pass them through a convex lens, those rays become concentrated and can burn anything upon which they fall. So, we have got that power of God, but it is not concentrated. If it is concentrated, it can become the mouthpiece of God. All masters have confirmed Guru Nanak's words. It is not I who speaks, but I say whatever God makes me say. They become the mouthpiece of God. Hazrat Musa, a Muslim prophet, has said, I do not speak, but whatever he asked me to say, I utter those words. They become the conscious co-workers of the divine plan, and in all clearness see God doing everything, thereby knowing. They are not the doers themselves. We also say that we are not the doers, but we do not see the fact. It does not matter how often we declare this, for in the end we will still feel that we are doing everything. We just cannot believe it. We must break this I-hood, otherwise we will achieve nothing. Karmas or actions come under the heading of karma yoga, which means being bound by our own actions. How can we go through actions without getting a reaction? Only when we truly see the self is not the doer, but God is. It is useless to merely say, I am not doing this. I am not doing it. And who is doing it? Deep in the folds upon folds of the mind, we are thinking that we are the doers. And while this continues, we will have to continue to pay for our actions. If you sow a seed of chili, the plant which sprouts forth will bear hundreds of chilies. Similarly, if you plant a mango sapling in the same ground, you will get mangoes. Therefore, the sharpness of the chilies and the sweetness of the mangoes will come out from the same soil. Whatever you sow, you will have to accept that similar fruit. And there is no escape for anyone as long as we do not become reactionless in action. Only that person who enjoys the inner experience of the holy Nam will come to see that God is doing all and not himself. He will then be called Ne-Karma, which is to be actionless in action as a conscious co-worker with the power of God in accordance to the divine plan. One Muslim fakir said that the great wrong we have done to ourselves could not even be done by one who is not only blind without eyes, but blind in reasoning also. That wrong is that we have forgotten the owner of this house. We, the soul, the indweller of the body, that which is controlling us in the body is called God. So, God and the soul are both residing in the same house. And when one starts to see the truth, one's I-hood will break away from one's heart. We have forgotten ourselves in the Maya, the illusion of forgetfulness, which starts when we became conscious of the physical body. This consciousness of the body quickly developed into acceptance of the body as our identity. From then on, we regard the world from the level of the body. So I'll stop right there. And what I've been reading is from Master's talk called Out of Bondage, which I had gotten from the Rohani Satsang website. Thank you, Master, for your knowledge and all your love and kindness. Thank you again.
And thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. There were 92 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
I love you with all your imperfections. Why? Because you are Son of God. You see, God resides within you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body. Make the best use of the man body you have got. Only for that, Jesus.